This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. 50 years after the events of the final Harry Potter books, and Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike, and I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote an entire series of fan fiction books based on Hogwarts. This is book one in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys. Hamoras, and welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, a fan fiction podcast by this guy, Radio Mike. Jack Post enters the hat trick appearances. Three appearances on the show. Only Sammy Garlep has done that so far.
What's a Hamora?
Yeah, so someone sent that in. So there's a spell in Harry Potter that's Alo Hamora, and I can't remember who it was, but someone sent me a message to be like, oh, you should be like Hello Hamora.
Ah, yeah.
That's like funny. A play on words. That's funny. Yeah, Hello Hamora. Third time on the show. Thank you for coming back.
Feeling good, feeling really lucky, and hopefully carry on as the carryover champion into the next episode.
Harry Potter, Harry Potter's third time was Prisoner of Azkaban. What do you think you're going to offer to this? Like, is it Jack Post and the disappointing third entry, or Jack Post and the, you know, amazing third entry?
Well, what do you think? I said to you on the last time I was here, I had just watched all eight movies.
Yes.
And Prisoner of Azkaban is actually my least favorite because of the time travel stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Don't muck around with time travel too much because you're going to get it wrong.
You must have hated The Cursed Child when you saw it then.
Was that the Sage play?
Yeah.
Yeah, way too much time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hated it just because it was so long.
Yeah, Jack actually told me that when he saw The Cursed Child, like, was it by the second, there's four acts over two nights, by the second act you were like, oh, I hope this is finished soon.
I mean, it's great. What a spectacle. The production values are huge and it's a great performance, but when you're sitting in, the second part, just you sat down again for the second part. You've already spent an hour and a half in the first part, or 2 hours maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
You had your intermission. You're like, wow, I'm not even close to halfway through here.
Yeah, and in the context of the play, you're like, oh my God, they're still in 1992. How are we ever going to finish this? Bit of that?
Well, just a bit. Like, I actually, a friend of mine saw it last weekend and he said, what would you say about, like,
who was the friend out of interest?
Frank, he's my personal trainer. Hello, Frank.
Cool. There you go.
He took his girlfriend. She's a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
Very excited to see it. I said, Frank, treat it as an endurance challenge. You got to go in knowing you're going to be uncomfortable and you're going to have to sit for a long time. There's intermissions, but it's not really enough to combat a long time sitting and watching and paying attention.
I did not think it was that bad.
No, like, it was too long.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty long. Like, I did it over two nights, though. I think, did you do it in the same day?
I did it all in one day.
Yeah, we did it over two nights, so I feel like, but I think I said this to you, like, when the first night ended, my initial thought was, oh no, we got to do this all again tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it'll be different, but we got to do it all
now,
over again.
Now imagine that feeling, but oh, we got to do all this again in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So we got to kill two hours, then start this all over again.
I went with my brother and his girlfriend, and I remember, because it was a Thursday and a Friday, I was like, hey, look, Friday we can grab dinner before. Thursday I want it to be as mechanical as possible. Like, I want to show up, sit down.
One minute beforehand we arrive.
Yeah, I'm like, we don't even have to talk. I just want to sit down and then we leave and we don't even really have to say goodbye. And I don't want it to be like, should we get a drink and discuss? Like, I just want the Thursday night. I just want nothing. Friday, sure, we can do something.
You know what I'd even add to that? It's like, I know this seems really unfriendly and antisocial, but during the intermission, I just want to play on my phone.
I don't want to be like, wow, what do you think's going to happen next?
I don't. Just let me recharge. Yeah. I'll flick. I know I look like everyone will be looking at you going like, that guy's not having fun. Look, he's making his wife sit there and not talk to him.
But did you actually say to Bianca, don't talk to me?
Don't fucking talk to me. I just want to read the synopsis on Wikipedia so I can actually understand everything that's just happened.
No, I didn't. But I sometimes have dinner with, not even just Bianca, dinner or lunch with anybody.
Mm.
And I get bored quick. I think I'm like a fidgety person. I get really bored really quickly. Yeah. Like I'm... That mechanical in and out is how I'm at dinner. Like, sit down, everyone look at the menu, don't start talking until you choose what you want so that when they come, we're ready to choose. Don't order a drink, order your drink and your meal.
And
then eat quickly and it's done. It's done.
Yeah, we go home. We sit down again.
So sometimes I actually wish I could say, and I hate watching couples in a restaurant or a cafe playing on their phones because, like, oh, what a sad world, you playing on your phones next to each other. But sometimes I actually feel like, man, I could just play on my phone now. And yeah, I would be happy.
I totally agree with you, though. Like, I don't want to start telling a story until everyone's ordered because I know people who start telling a story before everybody has ordered, I'm just like, no, we need to order. If you start this story, we're going to order in 20 minutes. We need to be ordering now so we can leave quicker.
Yeah. And not only that, you're distracting everybody from looking at the menus. So now... they're going to interrupt you. No one's going to be ready.
Yeah, the waiter's going to be like, oh, you guys ready? And so they're like, oh, we've been chatting. We haven't even looked yet. It's always like that. And I'm just sitting there going, I'm very particular about when I tell a story. Like sometimes if I'm like, you know, the dinner's ending and say we're both heading back to the train station, for example, I'm like, I'm not going to tell a story on the way back to the train station because then I might have to miss my train. Yeah. Like I keep it very small
you
talk.
You miss a train for a story?
No, I wouldn't. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't.
But say you got to that scenario, trains, we got to the station, 2 minutes for the train, what's our luck? But my story is at least 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Would you say to the person?
Yes.
Don't get on the train because I'm not finished.
I don't put myself in that position.
Yeah, so you'd never have to face it.
I don't even want the other person to have to be like, hey, I'm sorry. This is a great story. I got to get on this train. I would never. And I think that's why I do what I do. I'm a storyteller.
You got to. Everybody take this away with them. If you learn anything from this podcast, is time your stories.
Time your stories.
If you go into it, like with the menu or the train coming, there's no winners because your story's going to suffer and the group is going to suffer.
Exactly. So since you last appeared and last time you brought a song, I assume there's no song this time.
There's no song this time.
Well, there you go, guys. Turn off now if that's what you were waiting for. We do have a new segment.
Great.
Show. Last time, I think, did you play Potter or Notter? Yeah, you were the first person to play Potter or Notter where I read a thing.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I did.
And you complained that there was only one. So then we started doing three.
I thought there was going to be multiple. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the last guest on the show was Dilruk Jayasinha, who you know as well. And I actually had prepared this segment for him, but we actually just talked so much that I forgot about it. I'm just going to use it on you if that's cool.
Sure.
This segment is called...
Finito Quote
Tronum. So it's Finito Quote Tronum.
Finish the quote.
Yeah. Yes, Finito Quote Tronum, which I guess, you know, it's a play on Expecto Patronum, but Finito Quote Tronum. So what I'm going to do, Jack, is I'm going to play you a series of like the starts of quotes from Harry Potter. I'm going to play them off my phone. That's why I'm taking my phone out. And then you have to finish. Wow.
I'm going to be so bad.
I thought it was because you've just finished reading watching all the movies. You might remember.
Yeah, so like 2 months ago when it was here at Christmas.
All right. Well, listen closely. For the listeners, it'll be really loud. For us, it's coming out of those headphones over there.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Just listen closely. Jack Post, could you please finito this quote tronum?
Sunshine, daisies, butter, mellow.
I don't want to meet a fellow. I couldn't even tell you who that character is. Is that Dobby?
Okay, so the quote was Sunshine Daisy's Buttermellow. It's Ron Weasley.
That was Ron.
From the first movie, yes. You're incorrect, but here is the correct answer to that quote, Tronum.
Turn this stupid fat
On the train.
Yeah. Sunshine Daisy Buttermellow turned this stupid fat rat yellow.
That was a spell. That makes way more sense. I pictured somebody walking through a meadow.
No. But it's also funny because, like, don't you reckon you would have seen this in Harry Potter? Like, the spells are like Alohomora, Wingardium Leviosa, and then there's just this spell that's like
sun. Poem.
Yeah.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, how random's that? Anyway, here's your next quote. Finito, this quote tronum.
Messrs. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot and Prongs offer their compliments to Professor Snape and...
Go on.
Go on, Jack. What do they say after that?
And I actually remember this bit. They're in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Lots of hallway scenes.
Yeah, so that was a safe bet. But he's reading the map.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of questions about that map.
Okay.
By the way,
yeah.
Like, that map could solve so many other problems in the whole series if they don't use it. and is it the part where the map changes itself so it looks like something different to Snape, and he's like, "Oh, this is just a parlor game."
It's just a bit of parchment, I believe, is what he says. A parlor game? What?
Something from Ron Weasley, from the
Weasley's Wizard Weasleys, which did not exist in this book. So
it's a Harry quote, is it?
Yep. So Snape says, "Go on," and Harry says, he's reading it.
Oh, fuck off, Snape.
Not bad. Here's what it is.
And request that he keep his abnormally large nose out of other people's business.
You insolent little professor.
And then Professor Lupin comes out and says, Professor, and then Snape says, which is actually foreshadowing the end of the movie, Snape says to Lupin, Professor Lupin, out for a little stroll?
Oh!
That wasn't it. out for a little stroll. In the moonlight?
Yeah.
He's a werewolf. Yeah, so you just needed me to finish that. All right, finito this quote tronum. This is your final quote tronum. Finito this quote tronum, Jack.
Fred, you next. He's not Fred, I am.
He's not Fred, I am.
No, I am. That's another one.
Do you want to give it another shot?
Okay, go. Can you play it again?
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Oh, okay, so I'm actually going to guess that it's Ron's mum who says the next quote, and she says, "Oh, you two, you're always trying to scallywag me.
You two are always playing tricks." Here is the answer.
Honestly, woman, you call yourself our mother.
Which is quite a disrespectful way to speak to your mother, isn't it? Just mean, imagine if you were like, "Hey, woman, you know."
Hey, I saw your mum yesterday.
Yeah, you told me, but I didn't. I wasn't sure if you believed me. I wasn't sure if I believed you, sorry.
So did you talk to your mum and say...
No, I haven't spoken to her about it, and she hasn't mentioned it. Yeah. That's why I'm skeptical, because I feel like she would have told me.
It's such a kick out of it, seeing somebody's mum, but not at your mum and dad's house.
Yeah.
Like, out in the wild.
And what did you say? What did you say?
I was like, "Hi."
Did you know her name?
Oh.
What did you say? Well, you couldn't
know. No, I didn't say her name, but I do know it.
Is it? My mum's name.
Yeah.
None of your business.
Hey, what's your mum's
name? Your business.
What's your mum's name?
Nunya.
Is it?
No, what did she recognise you?
Yeah, but only because I was waving like this in the other. I was in the car and she was at the traffic light next to me.
Oh, okay, and was she like, "Hey, Jack, great show on Gold. We love it."
No, she didn't. But she asked how the show's going.
Oh, cool. That's great. Could have been any show, though. Yeah. Jack.
At the time of recording, the show is now number one again today.
Well done to Jack. And
seventh straight number one for the show.
Speaking of number one, let's go to the fan fiction. It's time for you to read the next chapter. No, that's not. Jack has just taken a random book.
Mike's version of the Kama Sutra.
No, that is the complete
catoot. A lot of dog ears in here.
Okay, here you go. Here's the chapter. Now... One thing that you will notice, and Dilruk did point this out, is that this chapter is labeled as chapter 17.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do scroll up to the chapter that Dilruk read on the last episode, that is chapter 19. So...
More time travel stuff in the Harry Potter world.
We're going to... I want you to read as chapter 17, but in the episode title, I'm going to do it as chapter 20, just so people don't get confused.
Yeah, okay? But what if the next chapter... Can I skip ahead? What if the next chapter
What's the next chapter?
Sequence?
It's 18.
So you're gonna now it's gonna be out of step.
I think we're just gonna fix it. I don't think this is an intentional thing. I think it was just me being an idiot. So it's been careers week at Hogwarts. All of the students have been allocated different careers.
Yep.
And that's basically where we're at. Let's start by reading the chapter.
What career
Jack.
Did the Mike character get?
He's in Hagrid's band.
Hagrid plays in a band.
Yeah, yeah, great. The Hagenators, I think.
And what does Mike play?
Guitar, electric guitar. Clearly, I always wanted to play guitar in a band as a kid.
Chapter 17, The Ninth Ill-Fated Measure.
Ooh. Have you heard? You don't listen to this show, do you? Basically, there are ill-fated measures occurring, and every time they happen, a note drops from the sky, and there is a foreboding that when 10 ill-fated measures come about, then someone will die. So we are up.
Is that inspired
9.
By anything from the book, or that's from your mind?
No, that's from the inside of my mind.
I kind of like that.
Thanks, man. Whatever. Here we go.
The Ninth Ill-Fated Measure. Yum, yum, said Derek. His job for careers week was the toilet cleaner. I remember now. Derek's the idiot.
Derek's the idiot. Yeah.
As soon as he had opened his Christmas present, which was a plunger.
Someone knew what he was going to get. It's like, oh, this could really... That kind of reminds me of like... You know, my nonna, right?
Yeah.
You know, she's an old lady and like she doesn't really want or yearn for much. Like she doesn't really necessarily want any, like she doesn't drive, you know. So, but then for Christmas one year, I think we got her a broom. And I just remember being like, should we get us like flowers or something? Like, are we just getting her a broom? Because, and like, she does like sweep the leaves in autumn and stuff. But I'm like, should we get her something else?
That's bad. That's like the time for any Hamish and Andy fans, the time I gave my mum the Baker's Delight coupons.
Yes.
$2 off coupons because I was like,
well, she buys bread.
Mum buys the bread. She buys all the time.
Oh, bloody take the load off her. $2. That'll help her heaps. So Derek is the toilet cleaner. He has been given a plunger for Christmas.
As soon as he opens his Christmas present, which was a plunger, he ran off to the toilets to use it. So he's excited about being the toilet cleaner.
I guess so. Yeah, it seems so.
He also got an alarm watch kind of thing from Mr. Charger.
An alarm watch kind of thing. I guess just a watch, really.
Why are the teachers giving him presents? Is that a step? Are they stepping over the line there between student-teacher relationships?
Derek and Mr. Charger have been like working together closely in the past few chapters, toilets. But I don't think it's in air.
Derek, you'll now be in the boys' bathrooms every day, plunging the toilets. Hey, so you got the alarm watch kind of thing?
Yeah.
Do they have watches and stuff?
No, because technology doesn't work in Hogwarts. But I guess we just ignore that.
So they're just like, time of Mora. 4 o'clock. They never really talk about the time in Harry Potter.
They're never like, hey, it's 4 o'clock. gosh.
But they still need it to get to like class.
There are clocks. There are clocks and stuff. So yeah.
As the teachers inspected the toilets, they thought that Derek was doing an excellent job. The only thing was, Derek thought the plunger was some sort of plate and, he was eating everything he found in the toilet.
Oh, disgusting.
Wait,
so he's eating poo, which is a horrible thing to inflict on a teacher.
A plunger's not for scooping.
And then but I think he's like putting it upright and just serving... Grabbing stuff out of the toilet with his hands and putting it in the hole of the plunger, I guess.
He is an idiot.
He is.
Beep, 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 beep. Derek's alarm watch kind of thing went off and it was time for him to stop work. As he walked down the corridor towards the expelled common room, he met up with the boys.
Okay.
You should try some poo. You should try some poo. It's got an exclamation mark on the end. He said, the boys walked into the bathroom and on the wall written in poo was Derek was ear. Ew.
Was is spelled W-O-Z. So it's weird because like he thinks it's food.
It's weird because he's eating poo.
But he's also using it as a graffiti like kind of thing.
I guess people could like write in sauce or something.
It's sort of like the Chamber of Secrets has been opened, but he's just writing Derek was here and not in blood, in poo, which is super weird.
Ooh, I'm going to be sick, said Luke as he ran into one of the cubicles.
Assuming he's going to vomit in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or read That's some a tea. Bit of, you know, show, don't tell from the author. You know, don't say he went to vomit in the cubicle.
You don't have to say every single
thing. You don't, no, you assume that he's vomiting.
The boys left the room and walked down the corridor. They had a special feast for only Gryffindors, and Hermione promised there would be good food. She lied. Okay, so wait, all the toilet...
I promise there'll be good food, and then there's no good food.
So the poo stuff is over without another word.
I guess so.
Derek ate poo.
I think it's just an insight into Derek's character. Like, you know, just a character profile.
Yet the boys all went to the bathroom in case they did want to eat poo, but then they decided they didn't.
It's like, you should try some poo. We'll check it out.
We can all go and we don't have to eat the poo if we don't want to when we get there.
It's like, yeah, I mean, a friend could be like, hey, come check out this restaurant. It's not for everyone. Like, the food's a bit spicy, but try it. Yeah, okay.
Now that I'm here, you know what? It does look a bit spicy for me. I have to go away. So Hermione said there would be good food at the special feast, and she lied. All the teachers were at the feast, even Mr. Charger.
Which is weird because it's a Gryffindor feast, so you'd assume that all the other students are currently unsupervised at Hogwarts if all the teachers are at this Gryffindor event.
Are teachers aren't house aligned, are they?
Yeah, well, in the book, so Professor McGonagall is the head of Gryffindor.
Oh, of course.
Snape is head of Slytherin.
Yeah, of course.
Professor Sprout is Hufflepuff. No, yeah, Professor Sprout's Hufflepuff. Professor Flitwick is Ravenclaw, or possibly the other way around. Someone will correct me.
Mr. Charger was there. He stared at the boys with his evil stare. Oh, I forgot Mr. Charger's the bad guy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
He stared at the boys with his evil stare. The boys ate and went down to the common room to do some Christmas eating. A lot of eating in this feast.
The boys are just, so, they must just be so hungry that that's why they considered going to eat the poo.
Yeah. And usually, like, you'd have a scene like them going to the special feast if something was going to happen, not just like, and we went to the feast and then we went down to the common room.
Yeah.
At about 2:30 in the afternoon,
Time being mentioned in the books. Yeah, there we go.
At about 2:30 in the afternoon, Tim Mirth came into the Gryffindor common room. Now, do we know Tim already?
He's the Quidditch captain for Gryffindor. He's a seventh year.
Tim Mirth came into the Gryffindor common room. Where are you? Where were you? He yelled. Quidditch has already started and the expelled is up 50-0. left the game.
So what we can only deduce here is that, yeah, there is a game of Quidditch currently happening. Yep. Only Timothy Mirth showed up.
Because all the boys are on the team, aren't they?
Yeah, and the expelled team, who they're versing, would only be Derek because he's the only person in expelled. So we assume that maybe after they went to the bathrooms, Derek left the bathroom to go to the Quidditch match. He's just shooting goals. Tim's trying to block them. He can't.
Still, even if it's one-on-one, Tim is doing terribly.
Pretty bad. And then the boys have just forgotten. So Tim's actually left the field to be like, guys, there's actually a match. We need to get to the Quidditch pitch now.
So they play for Gryffindor?
Yeah, they all play for Gryffindor.
So nobody at the special feast for Gryffindor thought to go, hey, there's a game on today. And the whole team's here.
Yeah. And we're all here. Shouldn't we be supporting it
or at least know that it's on? Tim is yelling at the boys. And the boys had completely forgotten that today was the Quidditch match between Gryffindor and Expelled. They rushed down to the pitch, got on their brooms and flew up. In about 5 minutes, Gryffindor had taken the lead, 90-80. But
Derek had a completely open field. Yeah. No one was opposing him. And he only managed to get 3 more goals in that time. And then within 5 minutes, the boys had gotten 9 goals. Like, let's use a real world analogy, like in a game of AFL, like, I don't know. We both go for Essendon. Yeah.
Collingwood versus Essendon. Big Anzac Day match, say.
Yep.
Essendon's coach has put on a special feast down at the club.
Windy Hill.
Everybody's there.
Yeah. Coaches, assistant coaches, players, subs,
meanwhile,
juniors.
During the off-season, Collingwood traded badly and they only have one player, Scott Pendlebury.
Okay, sure. Whoever that is.
So, well, he's like the most famous Collingwood player. Yeah. He broke the record for most games ever played at the MCG for anybody.
Oh, thanks, Eddie Maguire. Eddie Maguire is the president of Collingwood.
Now he knows a lot about Collingwood. he's been the captain for like 10 years.
Sure.
So Scott Pendlebury's on the field, but he's playing, let's say he's playing, Tim Murth is like the senior guy. So he's playing Dyson Heppel, who's the captain of Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
Dyson's like, where the hell are the boys? This should have been a run over. Scott's only one player. We've known coming into this game that Collingwood only have one player on their team.
Yeah.
And now I'm down 50-0.
Which in AFL is probably a bigger gap than 50-0 in Quidditch, to be fair.
But still, Dyson should have put some more score on the board.
But let's say they got 5 goals, which is 30-0. Right. That's a better goals. Analogy.
So Dyson's like, this is tragic. Obviously, I'm not a one-on-one player.
Yeah.
I got to get my ass back up to Windy Hill and see where the team's at.
And all the Essendon supporters are at Windy Hill, right? Yeah.
So even if he's timed it at halftime, so they get, I don't know if they do have halftime in Quidditch or
I don't think so. It's just a non-stop game. But like,
even if he times at halftime, so he gets a half hour head start from the MCG out to Windy Hills, half an hour, and he's got to have the conversation with the guys and come back. So you would think that Scott Pendlebury had close to 45 minutes on the ground alone.
Where he can just stand in front of the goal, like not even in, like at the 50 line. He can stand point black and flank in front of the goal.
He managed to get 5 goals when he had an opponent, and now he's got none.
And he, but he gets 3. He gets 3. Yeah. But like he could have gotten 100. And then, is it Dyson Heppel or something? Dyson Heppel gets to Windy Hill. Is like, guys, we've got a match. And then everyone's like, oh my God, shit.
Whoa, we completely forgot the game was today. The CEO's up there, the coach is like, thank you for sitting down to this special feast. Oh my God.
And then James Brayshaw is just commentating the game. And he's just like, every time Scott Pendlebury gets a goal, he's just like, oh! Now, James Brayshaw is a AFL commentator here in Australia who often just goes, oh,
pig! He's got another one! Pendlebury's got another one! They left their 50 wide open!
Oh, Pendlebury's got it! He's getting it! He's gone! Back to the middle!
Who's this? It's Pendlebury! Who's this? Oh, Pendlebury's got it from outside 50!
Now, if you're a listener from not in Australia, a lot of the last 5 minutes may not have made sense to you, but just apply your own national sport to this analogy and, like, choose a commentator who just does a lot of, then you'll get it.
Like, Pendlebury's putted it from 5 feet into the green.
Do American sports have commentators? You assume they do.
Yeah.
I mean, even Quidditch has a commentator, Lee Jordan.
Yeah. AFL didn't invent commentators.
I don't know.
All right, it's time to find out what happens at the end of the Quidditch game. It's 90-80, but Derek was about 23 times better than the boys thought he was.
Oh, it's a very specific number.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they've got a whole team onto Derek.
Yeah.
He was great at aiming. Obviously, a big sports fan has written this. He was great at aiming and could belt a bludger extremely fast. But now, how does Derek play every position on the field? Because you've got to be a seeker, you've got to be a bludger, you've got to be a thrower.
I guess that's the dilemma for him.
Yeah.
You know, he...
But he's 23 times better than the boys thought he was.
He'd want to have a chat to the coach. Surprise, he's the coach.
Oh,
Derek! He's got another one!
He was also could belt a bludger extremely fast. He also had a flash boy... Ooh, what's this? A flash boy 16, if my Roman numerals serve me correctly.
Yep, flash boy 16. I believe this is a... broomstick that I've made up.
It's an extremely powerful broom, and was just about as strong as a Nimbus 2325, which is the same broom that Michael had.
Mm-hmm.
Flash boys were invented about 20 years ago.
Useless fact. Hey, while we're here, let's do a quick delve into the history of flash boys.
Well, I mean, you would think the technology would improve in 20 years.
Yeah, you would.
There was no sign of the snitch at all. Derek had somehow managed to knock Lockie off his broom and, just like last time, he was having a dream.
Lockie often has these weird, vivid dreams about weird people.
I think I had read that chapter.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Or a similar one.
Yeah.
It was just like every other dream. Wait, so he's knocked off his broom and he's hit the ground.
I guess he's unconscious now. He's in this. It seems like when he's asleep or unconscious, he goes into this weird dream world.
Yep.
Sort of like most of us, I guess.
So we, as the observer of the story, we go into what's happening dream. With Lockie. Yeah. The game's happening elsewhere.
Yeah.
and it was just like every other dream. The hairy man was looking at Lockie while Mr. Charger spoke parcel tongue to the basilisk, which was Harold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we found out in a previous chapter, Harold is a were-basilisk. That's finally been revealed.
Okay, and who's the hairy man?
We don't know.
Okay.
The hairy man is just a recurring character in Lockie's dream.
But he's a friend of Mr. Charger.
We assume so, yeah.
The basilisk did what looked like it was shaking its head to say no, but Mr. Charger used a crucio spell on him.
The
One
torture
of the three
spell.
Forbidden spells.
Unforgivable curses, but close.
He was slowly transformed back into his human form. He then fell onto the ground and began to cry out in pain. Michael and Rob were not there this time. It was just Lockie. The green light faded. It turned red, and so did Mr. Charger's eyes.
Well, we all know that if someone has red eyes,
red
that's
bad.
A bad sign. Red means stop.
Stop, Mr. Charger. Stop. Green, I don't feel safe.
Green means go. Red means stop.
Yeah. So if the basilisk changed back into a human
yeah,
form?
Yeah, back into Harold, back I assume. Harold. We don't know if that's baby Harold or current day Harold, but yeah.
So Mr. Charger's eyes turned red. Then Mail Boy appeared.
Dragon Mailboy was a character in an early chapter who died in the lake from memory, and that was the last we heard of him. And suddenly yeah. he's in this dream.
Well, remember that I was testing you there.
Which suggests that there may have been more to Mailboy than we thought.
He did not drown. Mailboy appeared. I mean, it's a dream, so
that's true.
It's not real life. So did another man that Lockie knew from Rob and Michael's description was Boris.
Boris is, so we looked into a few memories in the last few chapters. Boris yep. was a school friend of Mr. Charger who seems to have some weird, like, he's just weird. They seem
does he work at the school or have any role
no,
at the school?
No, he's not at the school.
Shouldn't
It seems as though they're both up to something and have been for a long time. Boris did appear at the school, threatening to sue the school to Hermione. So that's something weird. We don't really know what's going on.
Mailboy is a student age boy and Boris is
an adult aged man.
Okay. They knew it was Boris. Mailboy hugged Boris. Mr. Charger began to speak.
Wait. Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'll do...
Mailboy hugged Boris. Weird.
Mr. Charger began to speak. Do not... touch your father, Dragon Mail Boy.
Oh, Bill! Oh, Mail Boy's got it! Okay, so that is a big revelation that Dragon Mail Boy, a student who died earlier in the year, and a lot of students have died in this book, but, you know, as far as we can see, there's been no consequences for that. Now we know that Boris is Mail Boy's father, and he was at the school threatening to sue. Maybe he was threatening to sue because Mailboy died.
Great.
That is a...
So is Mailboy meant huge, to be like a Malfoy...
Yeah, Mailboy, Malfoy. Dragon. Someone thought it was Dragon Mailboy as in Jessica Mailboy, but it's not. It's Mailboy as in mail, like a mail, yeah.
No, like it's like written like mail, like you would send mail in a
Yeah, like a mailboy, like yeah. a, yeah. Do not touch your father.
Do not touch your father, Dragon Mail Boy. You are unworthy.
Oh, Pendles.
Leave him alone, Winston, said Boris.
Winston's Mr. Charger's first name.
Mr. Charger. Leave him alone, Winston, said Boris. Be quiet, mailman.
Oh, so Mail Boy's father's name
is
Mailman. Which raises a lot of questions because you would assume that if Mailboy is Dragon Mailboy's surname, so you would think that his dad would be Boris Mailboy, but it seems like his name is Boris Mailman. So maybe their surname just works differently.
It's a magic surname.
Yeah.
So first Mr. Charger says, do not touch your father. You are not worth. You are unworthy.
Yeah.
Making it seem like Boris Mailman is... of really high esteem.
Yeah.
But then Mr. Charger just goes, be quiet, mailman, and condescends him. So
yeah,
the power structure...
It does seem like Mr. Charger is the most... Like the...
So the hierarchy
calling
is Charger,
the shots.
Boris, mailboy.
Yeah. Charger, mailman, mailboy.
Yeah. Be quiet, mailman. The child can hear us. Michael knew that Boris Mailman was Dragon Mailboy's father.
Now, we already figured that out. Yeah. But if you didn't, The author does spell it out to you. Also,
and Michael's not even Michael's in the scene.
One, this is a dream. Two, Michael is not in the dream, but he knows this. It was specifically said that he was not in the dream, but apparently he knows.
Well, Michael knows this.
We assume he's playing Quidditch still, but does he have this like thing? Oh, now I get it.
Boris Mailman was Dragon Mailboy's father. Then a green light zoomed towards Lockie's face. Boom!
We can only assume the green light is Avada Kedavra because that's, yeah. Oh,
I was going to say green is go.
No, sorry. Avada Kedavra is a green, is an emerald coloured spell. Yeah.
What does it do?
Not to be, kills people. Not to be confused with the Lord song of the same name, Green Light. I'm waiting for it, that green light, I want it.
Also a Jonas Brothers song.
Yeah, less known.
Probably less known, yeah.
Yeah.
Both great songs, though. So boom! Sorry.
I was just going to say, so boom.
Boom. It was a bludger, and Derek had hit it straight into Lockie's face. His nose was clearly broken.
So Lockie is unconscious on the ground of the Quidditch pitch, and Derek goes, oh, great, I'll knock him out. Smacks a bludger into his face.
It shows you the kind of person that Derek is.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is inspired by malice or stupidity.
No, it's malice.
Okay, well, thanks.
That shit eater, Derek. We know he eats shit.
Wow.
During Lockie's dream, Michael had managed to find the snitch. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's news.
So the dream is over. We don't know if that was a glimpse into something real. Yeah. We really don't know.
No one seems to react to the broken face, but we're just going now back to Lockie on the ground, I assume. During Lockie's dream, Michael had managed to find the snitch. He was chasing it and was closely followed by Derek. The snitch was flying dangerously fast. Michael's Nimbus 2325 and Derek's Flash Boy 16 couldn't even catch up with it.
Cool.
The snitch flew into Rob's beta bat. He hit it, thinking it was a bludger. Well,
seems like a difficult thing to confuse.
Even I know. You know, the bludger's a big old ball.
Yeah, I mean,
dark, and the golden snitch has wings.
You've basically got like a soccer ball sized ball and a ping pong ball sized ball. Like it would actually be hard to purposely hit the snitch with the beater's bat, right?
It's like to go back to a sporting analogy. Yeah. Again, it's like a soccer ball is the bludger, and all soccer players would probably know what the soccer ball looks like. Then a unruly fan has thrown a tomato on the field. It's like in protest, and Ronaldo's gone like, oh, I think that's the ball.
Kicks
and
headers it into the goal, starts celebrating with like the, yeah!
And he's got tomato in his face. He's like, ah!
Yeah, and then the ref's like, no, that's a tomato. That's the soccer balls over there. Oh, sorry, guys, confused it.
What's happening here? Oh, yeah, Rob hit the snitch off his bludger bat, and it started to fly towards Sam. It hit him in the head with such force that he fell off his broom. It continued on its rampage and flew towards Rob again. This time, Rob missed it and was knocked out cold. It flew to Tom next, and the next thing he knew, he was falling off his broom. Okay, we got a lot of men down at the moment.
Yeah.
Assuming Lockie's still on the ground.
We started with zero men. So it's like, we're still up from where we started, to be fair.
Then it turned to Luke. Luke began to fly as fast as possible, but the snitch hit him in the head. It then rebounded off his head and into Derek's mouth.
Okay.
Derek farted and out came the snitch, which landed straight into Michael's hand.
Within 1 second of swallowing the snitch, it's gone through his entire digestive system and he's specifically farted it out, right? I would call that more of a poo.
It's a magic snitch. So he's farted out straight into Michael's hands, which means Michael had the foresaw. The snitch coming for Derek's mouth and he's gone.
I got to cut my hands under his bum. Also, is Derek wearing pants? Because like it would still be in his undies, right? Unless he's just flying around.
Yeah.
Maybe it helps
or
with
Michael's
aerodynamics.
Put his hands down his pants.
And cupped
in
under
a legal
the bum
move
hole.
In
yeah.
Quidditch and gone, I'm cupping just for the catch of the snitch.
And how do you think James Brayshaw would respond?
It's a fucking legal move.
Play of the day. Takes it home. Whoa, they're going to be talking about that one on the news. Oh, he's done it.
Let's have a look at that old Harvey Norman replay.
Oh, triple M rocks Quidditch. Oh, in Triple M, which is a sports radio station.
So far gone. You don't have to. People who don't know, it doesn't matter.
No, I want to explain it because it's funny. Like in Triple M, a sports radio station, when they go to an ad break in the footy broadcast, they'll go, usually it's like, oh, for McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. But I think if in a Quidditch, it'd be like, oh, for Weasley's Wizard Weezers, Triple M rocks Quidditch. Hit the break.
Yes, that's true. And the other funny thing is the commentators keep trying to outdo themselves with how long they can hang on to the syllable in rocks.
Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks Quidditch. All right, where are we? So Michael essentially has caught the Quidditch.
He's won the game.
The snitch. He's caught the snitch. Gryffindor wins 240-80, shouted Madam Hooch.
Who we can only assume was there the whole time.
Like, didn't think to call.
Didn't.
I guess they don't have phones.
All right, guys, no one's here. Derek, you're starting, I guess. Hey,
they don't have phones, obviously, so they can't text an instant message.
Ah.
Is there any, like, send a message to Dumbledore?
No, owl. Got to get an owl.
Some things they.
The muggles win again.
The final scores of the Quidditch tournament were Gryffindor 258, Slytherin 8, Ravenclaw 10, Hufflepuff 2, Expelled 98.
Okay.
What's
I don't know. Let's just continue. Like, I'm confused.
Michael quickly high-fived Timothy Marsh.
And I believe it was Timothy Mirth or Tim Mirth. It's now Timothy Marsh. So he
it
also
could be another character.
He could be another. He has a magic surname. It changes depending on where he's at.
Michael quickly high-fived Timothy Marsh as he took the trophy. And then he rushed to the hospital wing. Everyone was already healed.
Nice.
As the boys walked down to the Great Hall to see something that wouldn't change their lives forever.
Okay. That wouldn't change their lives forever. Okay, cool.
Hagrid's band. And I guess this is like a poster?
A sign or a poster in the Great Hall, yeah.
Hagrid's band, the Haggonators. Hagrid will be singing. Michael will be playing guitar. Tom will be the drummer.
Now, a band would never do, like, you know, Tom DeLonge's band, Blink 182. Tom will be playing guitar and singing. Mark will be playing bass and singing. Travis will be on the drums.
Dude, it's so funny that you just mentioned that. Tom DeLonge actually put up a post on Instagram this week of an old Blink 182 poster of when they were just called Blink. And it said Blink. And I remember it because I was like, why do they bother going to this effort?
Yeah.
Blink, Tom DeLonge, guitar, Mark Hoppers, bass, Scott Rayner, drums. So he pretty much did that.
It's really weird. I wonder if this was inspired by that.
Come and support the Haggonators tonight at 8 p.m. Your name must be on the list of cool people to come. This list was made by Tom and Michael.
Which I don't think it was. And also... It's like, hey, come one, come all. Everyone come down, support the band, but you have to be on this list to come.
And reading ahead, I can see the list only has three people's names on it. And the names are Dragon Male Boy.
But he's dead. But he was in the dream as well, so something's going on there.
Mr. Charger.
Ooh, but he's a teacher.
Derek Derrickson.
Ooh.
Hey, said Rob, why aren't we on this list? Yeah, said Sam. We didn't write this list, said Tom. Yeah, Hagrid did, said Michael. So you boys ready for the show? Oh, wait, according to this list, you can't come. Ha, said Hagrid, who appeared out of nowhere.
Now, it has been written as, according to this list, you can't come. That's how it's spelled. No, that's fine, It's Hagrid, yeah. Hagrid appeared out of nowhere.
But Hagrid is meant to be their friend, right? So something.
Well... I mean, I guess so, but Hagrid is like, the last time we saw Hagrid, they went down to his hut and they were like, hey, Hagrid. And he was like, you better go to potions now.
Oh,
and
then
sent them off. So
Hagrid, but they're in the band.
Mm.
I can't believe you wouldn't invite us, yells Rob. Come on, Sam, let's go. But before they could leave, a note fell from the sky. The ninth ill-fated measure. Legame. Rotto.
Sounds what like does a pasta. That mean? It does sound like a pasta. Also, there's an E before that, and all of the ill-fated measures have had a letter and they're spelling. So far, it's R-O-N-W-E-A-S-L-E.
Oh.
So we assume it's Ron Weasley. But could be Ron Weaslen.
I love the depth of this book.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So, yeah.
So the ill-fated measure says legame rotto. Legame rotto? What does that mean? Asked Michael. Don't know, don't care, said Rob.
Rob has a very flippant attitude to a lot of stuff that happens in the book.
Because he was winchy little puny guy before when he was like, oh, we're not on the list, Sam, let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care about this. Rob says he doesn't care. But this could be important, yelled Michael as Rob and Sam walked away. As Rob and Sam walked away, but Tom and Michael knew that they wouldn't be talking to them for a few more chapters.
Oh, Harry and Ron had a fight. They probably wouldn't talk till at least chapter 15. So that was an interesting chapter. I feel like, do we want to translate legame rotto, which does sound like Italian?
Yeah. What do you mean translate it?
Like see if it translates to English.
So the others translated?
Well, there hasn't been any Italian before. So let's do detect language on Google Translate. Legame, which is like legame. Legame rotto. Broken link. Wow.
Was that purposeful?
I assume so.
Wow.
So they had a fight.
Yeah.
And now there is a broken link, which is very foreboding.
And what are the ill-fated messages do?
It just, there's a prophecy that once 10 are reached, one will die.
But on its own, it doesn't do anything. It's just a piece of paper.
Yeah. But I assume that Ron Weasley's going to die because it's spelling out his name.
Yeah. Is he worried or does he not know?
I don't think he knows. Yeah. I think he's just doing his job. Now, that's pretty interesting. Broken link. What do you think's going to happen?
I don't think we'll find out for a couple more chapters.
let us know your theories in the comments or send me a message on Instagram or email.
Has anyone been guessing the plot?
No,
correctly?
I would love for people to start making predictions about what they think's going to happen, any connections
like
they're finding.
Like you should give away prize for who's the next character to die.
If you get something right in a prediction, I will give you a prize. Yep. I'll give you a free sticker pack, a Radio Mike sticker pack. So think about that. Jack, thank you for being here.
Mike, thanks for having me again.
I hope we didn't go too long because you said you were really restless and you get bored quickly.
Ping! Get me out of here! Game's over! Siren's gone!
Good to be back. I will catch you next week. Hello, Hamora. Goodbye, Hamora.
Triple M rocks football!